listen and soak it in.
You're tapped into the Fantasy Pipeline with Dan and Mike from South Harmon, the show built to uncover tomorrow's dynasty stars today.
Sanders in a pocket. Oh, what a catch! Travis Hunter! Give him the Heisman now! Number four. On third and five, Howard will throw it underneath. Oh, it's picked off! Down the sideline! Unbelievable touchdown! Penn State! Zion Tracy! Toward the end zone, for the game, it is! Caught by Wister! Just like 1994!
Welcome in, everyone, to the second episode of the Fantasy Pipeline. I'm Dan. I got a new co-host today. Mike was sick yesterday and got called into work today, so we're recording this a little later than we planned, but I'm a lucky guy, and I got Eric Vanek stepping in today. So welcome in, Eric.
What's going on, man? Yeah, excited to help you out on this new podcast journey, man. I've been listening to the first two episodes, really enjoyed both episodes so far with you and Mike, and it's nice to talk college football because I don't get to talk about it as much, but I'm fairly fluent in it, still learning a few things as we go, but
we're kind of newer, but it's fun dabbling in this as well as our NFL stuff, so it's really cool because it opens up a whole new lane and fun.
Yeah, I felt like last year during the 2025 rookie drafts and stuff, it like helped me quite a bit, like knowing some of these guys and scouting some of these guys and stuff like that too. So I think even knowing more of these guys, like guys I did scout last year that did come back, and then, you know, obviously some of the bigger names too that are still playing, like I just know a little bit more. So I feel like I'm getting into like my groove here of like, okay, I know who this guy is and how good he is and whatnot.
Right. Yeah. Right. Especially, it's kind of cool following these guys all the way from like high school potentially to all the way to the NFL. And you're like, man, I watched your whole journey. And now I'm seeing the reaping the rewards potentially. So that aspect's really cool too, just following their careers. So
yeah,
it's fun. It's fun. And like you said, it really definitely gets us more of an understanding of who they are. And we really start to know more going into our drafts, our rookie drafts for the NFL. So
yeah,
that's
for sure.
So I think we start off today, obviously, with a recap and talk about this past weekend. So originally I had this topic, but it was with Mike, was the Iowa State versus Iowa. And even though he's not here, I still want to, you know, pour a little salt in that wound of Iowa going down. So,
yeah, I did watch a little bit of this game just for Mike's sake.
So was I. That's literally the only reason I was peeking in was for Mike.
Yeah, I think I heard something crazy. Like Iowa only has like 140 yards passing on the year or something like that.
Oh my God.
I think some quarterbacks have that in a quarter this year. It's pretty crazy. So
I was really hopeful for them because Gronkowski or whatever was doing okay passing, and I was like, in the other league or whatever, I was like, maybe he'll do something, but no, looks like same old Iowa.
Yeah, same old Iowa, not great, Bob.
No, I mean, they could probably have Patrick Mahomes, and they're still going to run it up the middle and do nothing. It's pretty brutal.
This game is always close between Iowa State and Iowa. Like last year's game was super close too. And we had some NFL prospects in that game with Higgins, Jalen Knoll, Caleb Johnson. So we had some good prospects in that game. So this year, I don't know if we had as many prospects as we did last year, but it was still a pretty decent game.
Right. Maybe on the defense because those.
Yeah.
That's about all that was going on.
Yeah, there wasn't much offense in here at all.
No. And always, Iowa always has a good defense, so it's always a struggle.
Yeah, for sure.
But all right, next game is another Mike's team, Florida State.
Are
they for real? What are we thinking? Yeah. They played a bum team this week, but they put foot in.
Yeah, I believe it is October 8th. The Florida State Miami game. So that's the next big game for them. So they kind of have some cupcakes until then, but I actually did watch this game for the first half until they took everybody out. I was just so enamored by them after week one when they just stomped on Alabama, and I'm like, Castellanos is so fun to watch. I'm like, I gotta watch it again this week. And They did it again, man. They are just cooking right now. They are just destroying everybody. The defense is flying around. You know, Deuce Robinson, who was a big-time recruit, finally had a big game. Those
two big plays with him were pretty nasty.
Yeah. And five for 173, two touchdowns. Yeah. Which is crazy.
Yeah. That's pretty fun. And also, what you like to see, too, is, like, you want them to destroy the team. And they came out and did what they're supposed to do. I mean, they did.
They ran for 361 yards as a team, and nobody had more than 82 yards.
I mean, nobody played more than like a quarter.
One guy had over 10 carries, and that was 10 exactly. So, like, they emptied the depth chart on this one. Yeah, everybody got to play, and they have like four or five running backs. So most of those guys got to play. It looks like the one guy didn't play, and I can't remember his name off the top of my head. The guy from Alabama, is it Roydell Williams?
Okay.
Yeah, I don't think he didn't play, but Sawchuk played, Chroma played, you know, Castellanos played, Cam Davis played. So yeah, they had a few guys that did play.
That's awesome.
Yeah, they were. I mean, Castellanos, man,
he's fun, dude.
He's
Tommy Football, as Mike's been calling him. I don't know if you heard that.
Yeah, he's definitely zombie football. He is dark horse for Heisman. Absolutely. Right. No doubt in my mind.
If they keep this role, I mean, after you beat Bama, that statement wins. So who'd you say was next? Was it Florida?
No, Miami. So that's their next big game. They play the Kent State Golden Flashes this week. In 2 weeks. They have a bye, and then they play them in 2 weeks. And then Virginia, and then they have Miami in Florida State at Doak Walker, Doak Campbell, whatever the hell it's called. Down there to play at Florida State. So that is going to be must-see. Can't wait to watch that game. Watch Carson Beck versus Castellanos.
Yeah, that should be exciting. Definitely exciting. And if the way that, like you said, that defense is flying around the way they are, that's going to be exciting.
Yeah, and Gus Malzahn, man, like, as long as that guy's not the head coach and you just let that dude call plays, he can cook it up, man.
He's good at that.
Yeah, for sure.
Gotcha. Awesome. I don't know if you watch this game, though. What do you think about Baylor versus SMU? Did you get a peek at that at all?
So this is the game I switched to after Florida State pulled all their starters. So SMU was leading there for quite a while, and then – Baylor came back. I think they were two touchdowns down in the last, I don't know how many minutes it was. And Sawyer Robinson brought him back. And I know that is a guy that Todd McShay has talked glowingly about for a couple months now, ever since he saw him at the Manning Passing Academy. And McShay knows what he's talking about with Sawyer Robinson, man. Like, just watching him, like, this dude's got a cannon on him. I don't know if he's going to be a first round pick. But it wouldn't shock me if we come, you know, 2025 draft and people are talking this kid up as maybe a potential first round pick.
He threw a couple dimes when I was watching, and I'm like, damn, he really rifled that in there. That was pretty nice. I was pretty impressed. I really haven't watched Sawyer Robinson too much. I've seen his stat lines and whatnot, but I really haven't actually watched some of his film or anything. So that was one of my first times really sitting down and watching. I'm like, I was impressed. I was definitely impressed. Yeah, so that was impressive.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh. I mean, 34 for 50, 440 yards, four touchdowns, no picks.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, he's got a couple good receivers he's throwing to. The running back had 100 yards too rushing. So, yeah, they're a really fun team to watch.
For sure. Yeah. What was it? Hawkins and Cameron. We're going to talk about Hawkins a little bit later. But, yeah, they both look pretty good.
Yeah.
And then SMU side, Jennings was balling out there a little bit too. That was a fun game to watch.
Yeah, he was super efficient. 16 for 22, mm-hmm. 295 yards, three touchdowns and a pick. But yeah, I mean, ever since Kevin Jennings took them on a playoff run last year, I've kind of been noticing him and keeping track of him. He's a really good player too, man.
Right, right. Don't know if there's any NFL upside there, but like he's fun to watch. He's fun. He's definitely a really fun college quarterback.
Like if, you know, can he be Joe Milton? I mean, he doesn't have the arm that Joe Milton has, but everyone likes, oh, I got
it. Oh, anybody has that arm, though.
Well, yeah, but you know what I mean? Like that backup with upside, like Kevin Jennings could definitely be that type of player. Like if Baltimore wants somebody to that compares to Lamar.
Who was that Baltimore backup? I've now drawn a blank.
It's Cooper Rush and Tyler Huntley.
Huntley, that's the one I was thinking of. Huntley stayed around for so long. Why can't he be Huntley? Just sit there behind them, run practice squad.
Right. Yeah. So, yeah. I mean,
you're right.
A lot of teams like that. Like, could Washington pick him up and he goes backs up Jaden Daniels because Marcus Mariota is getting older? You know, they're definitely a possibility and a good spot for these types of quarterbacks in the NFL now because you kind of want those guys on your practice squads and whatnot because they can come in and run the scout team. You know, if you're facing Lamar Jackson that week, they give you a really good look. So,
right. That is true. Especially those in division guys wanting to get some sort of resemblance of that offense and let's play against it for your defense. Right. So makes sense. Yep. You could stick around for a while. The other guy I want to talk about here on SMU was Jalen Cooper. He's a true freshman. He had two catches for 89 yards, and he actually just broke year 10. So that's pretty cool. He had a pretty decent game last week.
Yeah, I mean, two for 89, a touchdown's pretty nice. Mm-hmm. I know, shout out to Dynasty Barry. He was talking about Romello Brinson, who had four for 126 and two touchdowns for them, too. He had a really good game.
Did you see that? I don't know if you saw his catch or whatever. It was like a deflection, and he caught it up in the air off of it. It was pretty nice.
Yeah, pretty nice play for sure. Yeah. He's been having a really good season too.
Yeah, he's been balling. And then actually going back to Baylor real fast, I skipped him, but it was nice to see Bryson Washington start putting up some points again. It wasn't very efficient. He had like 3.7 yards per carry, but 31 for 115 and two. I'll take that. That's pretty nice.
Yeah, that's pretty nice. Really, really nice. Yep, yeah. I'll definitely take that.
Yeah, especially in, I don't know about your leagues with us, but most of our leagues have at least some sort of yards per carry or point per carry. So,
yeah,
he
probably scored quite a bit.
Yeah. He scored quite a bit. It was nice. 31 carries. Yeah. That's a lot of volume. So,
yeah, that just kind of looking at one of my leagues, it was 28.7 he put up. So, yeah, pretty nice.
Yeah, that's nice. He was balling at the end of last year. So, it's nice to see him get back to some of that volume at least. And then he'll have. Obviously, Dave's me will be more efficient, hopefully.
Yeah.
So, looking forward to that. Next game, it was a blowout. It was Wake Forest versus Western Carolina. And the only reason why I wanted to bring this one up is because it was Damon Claiborne's first game back. I don't know if you saw that.
I did not see anything on this game, but I did notice Claiborne's stat line. 10 for 193, three touchdowns, 19.3 a carry. God damn.
Yes. Have you ever watched this guy at all? Have you seen any film?
Yeah.
What do you think?
I think he's pretty solid. Like, I don't know if he's got, like, you know, it's kind of hard to judge when he's, you know, playing some of these shittier players, but we'll see what he does, man. When he gets to the NFL, I think there's definitely a shot there that he becomes something.
I agree. I watched some of the highlights of him last year, and I came away pretty dang impressed. I was like, man, this dude can fly, and he's pretty light on his feet. I liked it.
Yeah. He's really good movement and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, so it was nice seeing him first game back. Even though it's first low competition, he came out and just dominated. So that's always nice to see. He's like, all right, he's still the dude.
They needed him too, because I mean, even though they're 2-0, that first week one game, it was against Kennesaw State and it was 10-9.
Right.
Barely won. So like it was good rough to get Claiborne here and just fucking stomp on people.
Right, right. When you have a guy 19 yards per carry, that's, you know, right, a little helpful. A little helpful.
That'll do.
Dumping on them. So that's always fun. So next one, South Florida versus Florida. Okay. Did you peek at this guy at all? The upset?
Yeah. So I did catch the end of this game just because it was close.
Yeah.
And I did watch probably like some of the third quarter and the fourth quarter here. Mm-hmm. Man, Byron Brown looked pretty good.
Does it again, dude?
It does it again. And they got another big game this week, too. Why is it? They're going against Miami this week in Miami.
Yeah.
How about that for an opening schedule? Boise State, Florida, Miami.
A ranked Boise State team, too.
Yeah. So,
yeah. So they were ranked at the time, so they were supposed to be decent. They turned out they weren't so decent, but they were ranked. Yeah. They were ranked team, and then now Florida team that was ranked beat them. Now goes into, was it Miami you said?
Miami, going to the U. So
do they do it again?
It's going to be super tough, but I might take them with the points. Like, I think they could keep it close.
I might have to put some money on that just for funds. That might be funny. That might be fun.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Byron Brown is just putting this team on his back and carrying him for sure. And the defense is playing really, really good ball, too. So
they're flying out there. It wasn't a high-scoring game, but they were hitting hard. They were flying. So it looked good.
I've been a big DJ Lagway fan. That's why I've been telling everybody to get 2027 picks because, you know, Arch and Jeremiah, Ryan Williams. Well, DJ Lagway's in that class, too. But, I mean, he didn't look as good as he should the first 2 weeks of the season. I know he was dealing with an injury before the season, so I don't know if he's still dealing with that, but he definitely still has some developing to do. So hopefully he gets over that the rest of this season, and then next year he really has like a Heisman Trophy campaign because I think he's that good. Right.
Yeah, it was a bit odd too because Ball was running hard, and they were moving the ball straight down the field in the beginning. Then they just kind of slowly stalled out, and
they went away from Ball. That's what they did.
Yeah,
I mean they should have kept going to Jaden Ball and letting this kid.
They really should have, because he was running all over them. I don't know what happened.
Yeah, they went away from it.
Yeah, he averaged 5.2 yards per carry, but he was really hitting like 8 yard chunks at a time at the beginning of that game.
Yeah,
it looked really good, and then they were like, we'll stop doing that. It made no sense, but. Whatever. Sometimes you can out-coach yourself. So,
absolutely,
it is what it is.
Yeah.
So, and then they end up losing.
Yeah, they lose at home to you know, South Florida. Like, so it's not an SEC game, but it's still gonna suck. You know, as long as they win their SEC games, they should be all right. But that's, you know, no easy task either. You know, they got they have a bye this week, they play. This Saturday, they're going to Death Valley, the real Death Valley in LSU. Saturday night, 7:30, LSU, Florida. Let's go.
Yeah, we'll talk about that a little bit later.
Game.
But moving on to the next one is Oklahoma beating Michigan.
Yeah, just real quick back on Florida a second. Their next three games: at LSU, at Miami, then Texas. Good luck. But Michigan, Oklahoma.
Yeah, they might be done.
Yeah.
You lose to South Florida, you lose those three.
Might be 1-4 after that. That's crazy.
That's rough.
Oklahoma, Michigan.
Yeah, they really couldn't afford to lose that game.
Yeah, no, they can't. Oklahoma, though, man, John Mateer.
Yeah,
like there's a lot of good stuff. There's a lot of what the hell are you doing? There's he's very polarizing. That's for sure. He's gonna be
fun.
He's one of those, like McShay was talking about. Like, he's not Patrick Mahomes, but he does stuff that only like Patrick Mahomes can do, like in his own way. Like, yeah, there's just nobody else that can throw off platform and these crazy arm angles and all these things that John Mateer does. Like, there's not really anybody else that can do that. But that's what makes him successful, too. Like, you don't want him to go away from that either. So right. I'm definitely curious to see how Mateer continues to play this year. And then he led the team in rushing, like 19 carries. Next person was 9.
Right. It's kind of like Castellanos when he was at, what's it called, Boston College. And yeah, they kind of made him do nothing. And then, weird, it didn't work out. So, yeah, let them be them. It works out usually a lot better. So yeah, just let these dudes be them. So,
yep.
So yeah, Mateer did his thing. And what's it called? Burks went nuts, too. 7 for 101 from Tutty.
Yep.
So that was nice to see him do that, especially versus Michigan. So at least it's like a solid program. So love seeing that. And then did you see Underwood at all?
I watched Underwood in this game because I had this game on pretty much the whole game. I think he's a really good player. He's still learning. Mm-hmm. He's a freshman. So, I'm not going to completely murder him, but definitely needs some more development. I think Michigan kind of needs to let him, like, let him throw the ball a little bit too. Like, you know, let him show off his skills a little bit. So I think they're trying to get that balance together there. So we'll see how that
goes. I'm not going to lie, I'm a little nervous for him. Like, I feel like it might go the Aller direction because when Aller came out, I thought he was very talented, especially even like the first few games at Penn State. The problem with these big programs nowadays, it feels like they're almost too scared to lose, and they just kind of manage their quarterbacks like these big guys. If they need development, but they don't really develop them. They just kind of handicap them, and then it's frustrating because like you watch Aller, he can rip it, and then he just looks so terrified to make a mistake that he's not playing football anymore, and it's frustrating. And I'm kind of nervous that Underwood might go the same direction because of the way Michigan runs their offense, which is vanilla.
Yeah, no, you're 100% right. I agree with you. So I've kind of felt the same. Like they need to take the training wheels off of these guys and let them play. Right. Like,
go lose a game. Like go to what Kevin Stefanski did with JJ. Just let him make his mistakes. Let them learn. Let them figure it out. And by the end of the game, guess what? They won. They came back and won that game the other night.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, O'Connell. Yeah.
Oh, Kevin O'Connell. Yeah. Yeah. But yeah.
But yeah, I mean, it was a fun game though. It's, you know, Oklahoma with this offensive coordinator and quarterback combo just pretty much leading the team right now.
Right.
We'll see how they go, but
yeah,
they have some interesting players too. Like they brought in Jade Knott though, and he only had 4 carries. Like, and he hasn't really been playing at much at all. No. So it's like Jade Knott hasn't really fit in with this team yet. Mm-hmm.
They paid him a decent amount of money, didn't they? I think I saw that.
I would assume so. Yeah, I mean, he was
paying him a lot of money to be there, from what I remember. Yeah.
I don't know if he's just not picking up the offense fast enough, or
I don't think he's that
or what. Either. But I mean, he had 2 other running backs who had more carries than him this week.
Right. I want to see Tatum back out there. I did like Tatum last year. I thought he looked okay.
I don't know if he's hurt right now.
I think he's still hurt.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think he played at all.
Yeah.
But the last one, last thing about this game is Mr. Justice Haynes.
Yep.
Thank God you left Alabama. And I'm loving this workload. I like to see we were hoping for this when he came out as a freshman, and now we're getting him balling. So 19 carries, 125 yards, 6.6 a carry, a tutty. You love it.
Yeah. Yeah, most of his yards came on that 75-yard touchdown where he busted at the top of the third. But, I mean, Oklahoma's defense played really good. But, yeah, I mean, the first 2 weeks, Justice Haynes has looked as advertised.
Yeah.
He's going to definitely be one of the top 5 running backs that come into the 2026 rookie class next year. So, definitely excited to see some more of him.
Yeah, thank goodness he got away from Alabama. He's actually allowed to shine.
Yes, 100%.
This has been nice. I have like 1 or 2 shares of him, and it's been depressing just watching him do nothing. So, the talent's there. We know it's there. Let me see it. let him go. So it's been awesome to see.
Yeah, and he's had back-to-back really, really good games. So, I mean, not much more you can ask for. He had a 159 in the opener against New Mexico, 3 touchdowns, and then 125 in the touchdown this week. So as long as he keeps that up, I'll be happy.
Right. All right, next game, we got Arizona State losing to Mississippi State.
Yeah.
So I don't know if you peeked at this one at all, but...
Yeah, so thank God for YouTube TV and the multi-view. So yeah. I had this in one of the screens, but I didn't like turn the volume on as much. But I did peek at it from time to time because I did want to see Levitt a little bit. Yeah, but Levitt did not play very good in this game.
No, he did not. No, he definitely had a down game. Kyson Brown got hurt, which has been my little dark horse running back I drafted. Mm. I like him for CFF at least. I'm not sure about NFL, but I left for like CFF and then Levitt. So I was looking at, I was watching the game for him and then Levitt, because honestly, Levitt might be my QB1 this year coming out if he comes out. So we'll see how he does, but. Watching him last year, I was so impressed. So I hope he gets on track, but
This one was not good. I mean, basically just threw the ball to Jordan Tyson, which I would do too. but that's right. I mean, that's all he really threw to. But the running game was really good. Relique Brown, who came in, and Kanye Udo, both of those guys ran for over 100 yards. I have Udo in a couple leagues. So, yeah, I mean, but both of those guys did really good this week, and they needed it. That's what got them back into this game. So,
yeah, there was not much else going on in the best game. So, it was all running.
No.
Yeah. Fluff Buffalo was one of my pickups last year. So, he only took it 8 times, but 4.2 your carry. So, I mean, he's doing okay this year.
Yeah, he's not bad. Volume. And I know they had Booth was their guy last year, but he hasn't like really.
No, they've kind of been like splitting between the two, and it's kind of killing them both.
Yeah,
so that kind of stinks.
I had Brennan Thompson in the league. He had 6 for 133 and the 2 touchdowns, so he was definitely in my lineup this week. So that was nice to see.
Nice, yeah, 6 for 133 and 2. That's fantastic.
Yeah, that'll play for sure.
Cool. The other guy we'll be talking about a little bit later, so we'll wait on him.
Yep.
Any other games you want to talk about real quick before we move on to waivers?
I think another one we need to bring up here is Clemson and Troy, even though not much happened. But Clemson, man, they were losing there to Troy. They finally came out in the third quarter, put up 17 points, shut them out in the second half. But I don't know about you, man. I'm kind of worried about Klubnik, some people are putting him, oh, he's gonna be the first pick overall. Like I don't see it, like in the big games and stuff. Like he just doesn't get it done for me at all. Like I didn't like anything I saw against LSU. I thought he was terrible, and then started off this game pretty shitty, but he came back into it a little bit. I don't know if it's because he's missing Antonio Williams or whatnot. I'm sure that's part of it, but
I mean, I feel like that's not really an excuse. He's got receivers.
He's got
know what I mean? He's got maybe the best wide receivers in the country. So like core.
Yeah. So, I mean, how does TJ Moore go through a game and have one reception for 1 yard? Like, what are we doing?
Wesco went off, thankfully, but like he's got Wesco, TJ Moore, Antonio Williams, who wasn't playing.
Yeah. Adam Randall, the running back, had a good game, and he's a former wide receiver turned running back. So
Tyler Brown,
he can run rounds. Yep.
He was a true freshman. His true freshman year, he was the hotness, but I mean, he's got guys. There's really no excuse.
Right.
And he's got a good running game. Adam Randall actually went off. He went 21 for 112, like in a tutty. So,
right.
You have a decent run game. You got receivers. There's not. And you're playing Troy.
Troy. In Clemson. Like, you shouldn't be losing that much. No.
No. This is like the opposite of Florida State.
Right. And then. Let's see. There was one other one I wanted to bring up. I got to find it. So Washington was the team I wanted to bring up. I did have that game on late. It was a very, very late game, like 10:30 or 11 o'clock start on the East Coast here. But I did watch some of that, man. Jonah Coleman, man. 15 for 111, five touchdowns.
Five tutties.
Yes. And Damon Williams Jr., the quarterback, he's pretty damn good too.
I really haven't watched him. I know who he is. I've looked at his stat lines, but I really haven't actually scouted him as well. You liked it? Like, you liked what you saw?
Yeah, I liked what I saw. Like, I don't think I think this is his sophomore year, so
I think
he's not eligible to come out this year, but I think he's definitely somebody next year that he could maybe get himself up into that first round talk as a quarterback if he continues this ascend he's had. Like, you know, 16 for 25, 254 and a touchdown, and also ran 8 for 64 and a touchdown. So he's got the athletic ability to run too, which is going to only help him.
Right. Right.
So, yeah, I just wanted to bring him up too, because Jonah Coleman, man. Jonah Coleman's been one of the best running backs so far this season. So, really nice to see that. Hopefully, we can see him in the 2026 class.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm just looking up his. Yeah. I remember he's like a bowling ball guy. He's 5'9, 228. He's listed at.
Yeah, he's like Devontae Freeman, pretty much.
Yeah, it is a little bowling ball right there.
Yeah.
Low center of gravity and just thick boy. So,
dang. Yeah, I mean, he had two touchdowns in the opener for 177 against Colorado State, and then this week 111 for five touchdowns. So he's already got seven touchdowns in two games.
Yeah, and he transferred over from Arizona with his coach here. So,
yeah,
he was looking good at Arizona, and then he came here and he's been balling. So, but nice. Do you have any other games? Was that the last one you
wanted? Yeah, God, we could go on for on and on.
I know.
Yeah, we'll stop it there. But, yeah, there was plenty of nice performances, but I think we got most of the main ones.
Yeah, I agree. We could talk and hit every single one of them because they've been right. A lot of good games. But,
yeah,
cool. Those are our highlights for the week. So we're going to move into waivers. And we pulled, like, around, like, top 40 for the two positions. We're looking for guys that are like under 20% rostered that we could actually pick up potentially. A lot of these leagues are C2C leagues. And even if it says 20%, which is a lower percentage, if you're following the C2C crew and the deeper rosters we play in, most of those guys are all picked up. So really looking for under 20%, that's a reasonable chance that they're actually out there.
Yeah.
So first guy who's kind of right on the border is Gavin Sawchuk. From Florida State. We talked about the game a little bit earlier, but he's only 20% rostered, and he was available in two of my leagues. So that kind of surprised me. So, I mean, he could be out there. So I would at least peek. He looked pretty good. They kind of dominated, so it's hard to tell, but I mean, he looked pretty good.
Yeah, he had three touchdowns, so that accounted for a lot of his stuff. But he's been the backup running back there for Florida State. Roydell Williams didn't play in this one, so Sawchuk was kind of the leader there. And, yeah, he's a really good player too, man. He was a highly touted recruit coming out of high school and never really, like, hit. I think was he at Oklahoma first?
Yeah, he was at Oklahoma.
So, he transferred over to Florida State, and now he's finally getting to play a little bit on a really, really fun team. So excited to see him play some more here coming up.
I mean, yeah, exactly. I mean, like the first year, I mean, he averaged 6.2 yards per carry. He had 17 carries or 105 yards. So freshman year, didn't do a ton, but good yards per carry. Second year, 120 carries, 744 yards, 6.2 yards per carry. Third year, didn't really do too much, 39 yards per carry dropped. Plus, they weren't a good team last year. So
that
dive bombed, and then he went to Florida State, and now he's at 4.5 again. He's the backup, but he's looking pretty good. So I don't know.
Yeah,
we'll see. I'd at least look at him. He's at least the depth piece. The other one is Kendrick Raphael. He's running back for Cal. Mm-hmm. I really haven't watched him too much, but it's looking like he's got that main job now. We'll see. So.
I haven't watched too much of him either. I've been watching the freshman quarterback, but I haven't been watching
Right, if they're gonna be throwing that much and playing better than I expected, but he had 18 carries for 131 yards. That's 7.3 a carry. He had a touchdown last week. He had what was it, 9 for 37, so 4.1. So he's being efficient, and they might have found something there.
We'll see. For sure.
I don't know if I'd pick him up this week or if I have a low amount of pickups, but if I have a decent amount, I might pick him up or I might watch list him. But his schedule coming up, too, I mean, he's got like Minnesota, but then was it San Diego State, Boston College, Duke, let's go, North Carolina, Virginia Tech. I mean, they're not horrible matchups, so
yeah, we'll see. For sure.
So yeah, he's definitely one I'd be interested in, at least keep my eye on. Yep. And at 4% rostered, he's probably pretty available.
Yeah.
So he's definitely one. Adam Hill is my next guy that I wanted to bring up. He is a redshirt freshman from Texas Tech. They played Kent State, so they weren't playing great competition. But he went 16 carries for 127 yards, so he's at 7.9 a carry. It was mostly cleanup duty, but, I mean, you want to see good yards per carry like that. Same with last week. It was another blowout, but he had 8 carries for 78 yards and 9.8 yards per carry. So I like looking for these dudes who are very, very efficient. Even though, like, they're usually in cleanup duty, if you're being that efficient, then, like, I'm at least interested because I've hit on a lot of these guys who become productive in the future when they take over their job, because maybe you're not averaging 7.9 anymore, but you're still usually pretty decent. So I look for that almost ridiculous yards per carry with at least more than four carries. You know what I mean? Because every now and then you see a guy with four carries, he breaks one. Okay, cool. But if you're if you have 16 carries and you're still averaging almost 8 yards per carry, even though it's 10, it's something I want to keep an eye on, especially if somebody who is like a redshirt freshman. So he's got 3 more years of eligibility. Who knows where he goes? Who knows if he becomes a thing? But I like to kind of keep my eye on those guys. Doing the same exact thing, I hit on Ollie Gordon. I found DJ Giddens. Just from that method, just looking for guys who are super efficient, redshirt freshmen, sophomores, something like that. You'll find gems who are like, you're like, oh man, dude, he's averaging like 6-7 yards per carry. That's interesting. You know what I mean? And let me keep my eye on them. And then next thing you know, they get the main job and they become something. You never know.
Yeah. So. I mean, I have a guy that's kind of similar to that. I have him in one of our C2C leagues that me and you are in. So it's Adam Mohammed for Washington.
Yep.
He's the sophomore backup for Washington. He's only 14% owned, and he came in for Washington and cleanup duty, 14 for 95 and a touchdown last week. And then week one, he also had 7 for 25 and a touchdown. He had a couple of catches too. So it's a sophomore running back for Washington. You know, Coleman's probably moving on next year. Mohammed's probably in line to be the junior starter next year for them. So that's a guy I've liked the roster if I can.
For sure, for sure. Especially like those programs too, where they're like good programs, but they're not over the top.
I mean, it's still a Big Ten program.
It's a decent program, but the ones I get worried about are like the Georgias and like the Ohio States, because they're usually going to have a guy coming in or they're going to buy a guy. You know what I mean?
Right.
So it's also nice looking at like a Washington, a Texas Tech. Like there's a great chance that these guys might take the job. So that's always nice too. The last one for running backs I want to bring up is Grant Washington. He is a true freshman running back for Minnesota. He had 20 carries for 126 yards, so 6.3 yards per carry. He didn't play last week, but this is his first game. It was a blowout, and Taylor got hurt. But so, like, there's guys in front of him. But, I mean, he that's a pretty good showing for your first game as a true freshman.
100%.
Yeah, 20 carries for 126. I mean, that ain't bad. So I don't know if he's going to be a thing this year. I don't know how hurt Taylor is. I haven't really looked it up at all, but that's something to monitor. True freshman going for 6-point-something yards carry versus not good competition, but I'm at least interested. That's an eye popper. Like, I don't know what you think about that.
Yeah, no, that's another good one, especially like Taylor's moving on to the NFL next year. So he could be next in line to have Minnesota historically has put out some running backs, Taylor and then Mohammed Ibrahim, who was there for like 17 years, it seemed like.
They do have that transfer. I'm drawing a blank. I'm looking him up right now.
Okay.
If you want to keep talking, I'm sorry.
Yeah, I'll bring up a couple other guys too. So,
Back AJ Turner. He was at Marshall last year. Okay. So he transferred in this year. So he might be the starter next year, might not. He's a junior, so he's got one more year as well. But either way, I mean, like a true freshman doing that, interesting. Yeah. Yeah. First game coming out looking good, so that's always fun to see. So. Yeah,
for sure.
Who are the guys you got? What do you got for running back?
The other one I was going to bring up is Chauncey Bowens for Georgia. So this is a guy I kind of found when doing my Campus to Canton drafts this offseason and was just kind of reading up on him. He's a freshman. I think he's a redshirt freshman running back, so he sat out last year. And I guess he had been practicing really good, lost some weight, and was really impressing the coaches and stuff. So I took a shot at him. It's a guy at Georgia. And this week he had 11 carries for 56 yards and 2 touchdowns. He scored, scoring 2 touchdowns for Georgia that only scored 28 points in the game. Like, that's definitely noticeable. So this could be the next Georgia back. It seems like he's in a battle here with Dwight Phillips is the backup job, and it seems like Bowens is the guy who's winning this backup job and becoming the backup to the starter, Nate Frazier. So Chauncey Bowens could be one of the next big Georgia running backs, and he's only 6% rostered in Fantrax right now. So that's definitely a guy I would pick up.
Yeah, for sure. Unfortunately, he's been rostered in all the leagues I'm a part of. And you got him in the ones. So I was like, I did look him up the other day, and I was kind of bummed out that you had him. But
okay.
Yeah, that's nice. Like you said, this year he's been looking good. He for Marshall, he had 5.5 yards per carry, 5.1 this past week. So yeah, he's definitely one I'd want to keep an eye on, if not grabbing.
And he's another one of those bigger backs. He's like 220. He's like a fucking battering ram. So I haven't watched the tape on him and stuff. Just kind of read up on him so far. But I mean, everything's looking really good so far.
Yeah, 5'11", 225. He's a big boy.
Yeah.
Cool. Awesome. That's a great one to keep an eye on.
Yeah.
Next one, we're moving to wide receiver now, actually. So the next guy we have on there is Anthony Evans. Yep. He is Mississippi State. And I don't think he did anything last week from what I remember. Let me look. Yeah, four catches for 36 yards. So kind of modest last week. But this week, he had 14 targets. He had 9 receptions for 108 yards and 1 tutty. So, hard to tell what's going on there. The past 2 years, he's at Georgia, and then now he's in Mississippi State. So, his first 2 weeks at Mississippi State kind of came out week one, didn't do a ton. I mean, 4 catches is decent. But then went 14 targets. So I'm not sure if that trend is going to continue, but I love chasing targets. I don't know about you, especially for NFL, college, I think the same thing. Targets are earned. So if this dude's going to command targets like that, I'm going to stay interested. I'm not fully buying in after 1 week, but he's on my radar.
On the radar,
yeah. Yeah, on my radar. 14 targets.
Yeah, him and Brennan Thompson were pretty much the two guys who helped them beat Arizona State this week. So, yeah, he's definitely a good target. I agree.
Yeah, definitely somebody to lose, keep an eye on. And then this next guy is one that you brought up, is Justice Ross Simmons.
Yeah.
Did you want to talk about him real quick?
Yeah, he was a guy that was supposed to pop last year, with Aronde Gadsden and Pena and all these guys that they had with Kyle McCord at Syracuse. And he was pretty much injured all year and didn't really get to play. So he came back this year. He got 10 targets this week. He caught 5 of them for 83 yards and 2 touchdowns for Syracuse, who continues to throw the ball. So he had 3 catches for 50 yards in the opener against Tennessee. That was a high-scoring game, so didn't
put 7 targets too. So 7 targets and 10 targets. That's nice.
Yeah, so. he's earning the targets here for sure for Syracuse, a team that wants to throw the ball quite a bit. So yeah, that's somebody I would look to pick up too. And he's only 7% rostered.
Yeah, love that low roster percentage. So he's probably floating out there, and he looks like a juicy schedule coming up. So Not sure who he plays next week. Looks like Clemson, Duke, SMU, Pitt, Georgia Tech, UNC.
It's Colgate this week. That's going to be a tough
Colgate,
one.
That's it. Okay.
And then at Clemson, and Clemson hasn't looked very good so far. No, Duke, SMU. SMU just gave up 45 to Sawyer Robertson, so you know that's going to be a shootout.
Right. So yeah, he's got some games coming up. He could go off.
Yeah.
I like it. That's a good call. And then we kind of talked about this game earlier, but we teased it a little bit. So Ashton Hawkins, wide receiver from Baylor, he had 12 targets. He had 10 receptions for 145 yards. Last week he had 70 yards, I think it was.
Yeah, four for 70 against Auburn.
Four for 70. Yep. So not too bad last week. Went nuclear this week. I mean, it's SMU, so no defense was played that game.
Yeah, I mean, it's been Josh Cameron is the leader. Ashton Hawkins has been second. And another guy that's low owned too, Kobe Prentice, 11% owned. All three of those guys are definitely worth owning right now, especially if Sawyer Robinson's going to be
turning the ball around. The way Sawyer Robertson is slinging it. I mean,
yeah.
Yeah. What's it called? I'm looking at it right here. And was it Sawyer Robinson had 48 passing attempts last week and 50 this week. So,
yeah.
That's a lot of attempts going around. So definitely one I want to look into.
Yeah, definitely want to own pieces of that receiving core for sure.
For sure. And then look at their schedule coming up. We have, was it Sam Houston? We have Arizona State. Sam
Houston, Arizona State, Oklahoma State,
K-State, TCU, Cincinnati. Not doing too good this year defensively.
Yeah, so, like his like next hardest game might be Utah in November.
Yeah, that's probably it, honestly. I mean, Houston looks decent, but I think they should be able to score on them.
Yeah.
So, yeah, his whole schedule looks fairly juicy besides Utah.
Yeah, for sure.
So, Sawyer's going to keep throwing.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. He's going to keep throwing. So that's really cool to see. So we got that one, and then we talked about it a little bit earlier, but Jalen Cooper, he's looked good, true freshman from SMU. So broke year 1-0 already. So that's kind of nice, and he's been doing pretty good so far. So if his roster percentage, he's only 10% rostered, so he should be out there.
Yeah, it should be in most leagues. Yeah.
So. There's that. And that's the last wide receiver I had. I don't know if you have any other wide receivers you want to talk about real quick.
Yeah, nobody else on the wide receivers that I noticed. I did have a couple of tight ends possibly, and definitely one quarterback I wanted to bring up.
Okay.
So the quarterback, he's 21% owned. So I'm going to say he's fairly available. And that's Dylan Lonergan from Boston College. I watched that game quite a bit. I had that on in the multi-view too. And he went 34 for 45, 390 yards and four touchdowns this week in that shootout game against Michigan State. He's a former Alabama guy transferred over to BC to play this year. Week one against Fordham, he had 268 and four touchdowns in that game too. So he has back-to-back games of four touchdown passes. This kid is... He's got a really good arm. He's cool, calm under pressure, all that kind of stuff. I really like everything that I've seen from him so far. Obviously, running a Bill O'Brien offense, too.
You know what he's going to do? He's not allowed to run.
No.
You're going to stand there, and you're going to call that play.
Yep, but he's doing it really damn good right now. Yeah. So he's killing it right now. So I wanted to give him a shout out because he definitely deserves it. And that kind of leads me into one of my tight ends too. So his top tight end was the number three tight end on the week this week, and that was Jeremiah Franklin, who had 12 targets, caught 8 of them for 84 yards and a touchdown this week. And he's 14% owned at the tight end position. That's another guy I would definitely pick up. If you could pick both of them up and you get the combo, even better.
Right. I think I got him in one league, I think. I know I tried for – nope, I got outbid him all the leagues I tried for him. So that stinks because he was definitely one of my targets this week too for my waivers, but I missed out. I didn't bid enough.
Yeah. Another one that is out there, Dan Villari for Syracuse, the tight end. He is 17% owned, it says, and he had a big game for Syracuse this week, 7 for 104. Didn't have a touchdown, but still put up 24 points in my tight end premium league. And then he had 5 for 55 the week before. So this is definitely a tight end that's going to get used quite a bit during the year that, you know, probably is out there quite a bit, and that you can put him into your lineup and he's going to be really good for you in a high volume passing offense.
Right. And I don't know if you remember, was it, you know, I think it was last year. I think it was 2 years ago when they were using him as their quarterback. I'm doing quotes. Mm-hmm. Remember that?
No, I don't.
Okay. So I forget. I think it was 2 years ago. Somebody got hurt and he was starting at their Wildcat quarterback basically. And he was being put into our tight end slots playing quarterback. And it was pretty unfair. And I was so mad about it. I was not a happy person because I didn't get him. And, it was not fun.
I didn't. I don't remember that one.
Yeah. Let me look for it. Yes, 2023. He had 33 passing attempts, 23 completions at 177 yards that year. He wasn't doing much, but for your tight end position, having a guy playing quarterback that's running out there throwing, it was not fair.
Yep. And then, if you don't mind, I got two more quick tight ends.
I know there's one that you picked up this week in our league that I wasn't happy about.
Okay, I don't remember which one that is.
The Bowling Green.
Okay, yeah, that was one of the guys I was going to talk about. So Jyren Johnson from Bowling Green, so we'll talk about him first. I don't know if this is going to be the guy, but he had 1 for 22 week one. Then this week against Cincinnati, he had 7 for 80 and a touchdown. He caught all 7 of his targets. So if this is going to be the next Bowling Green tight end, I was willing to at least take the shot and see here. So
I agree. I agree.
And he's only 1% owned. So
yeah, 1% owned. I don't even know anything about this guy, but just looking on Fantrax and looking at his stats, like he didn't play for anybody. Looks like last year, so he's probably what's it called, a JUCO person, transfer or something,
right?
Or lower, or FBS or something like that, transfer in. So because it doesn't have any stats for him, so I don't really even know where he played last year. But last week was his first game with the team. So didn't do a whole lot, and then clearly came out this week and showed what he was about. So so if he's the next guy going forward, like you said, I'm interested. So
yeah,
I was a little jealous you got him. You picked up
my other guy that I liked, and that's Jaron Kanick from Oklahoma. So this heard a little bit more about him today on McShay's show. So this guy was a linebacker or a defensive end, one of the two, the last like 2 or 3 years. And he went to his coaches and he's like, look, like, can I play tight end and show you what I can do? Because he wasn't getting on the field as a linebacker because their linebackers were so good. And they said, sure, go ahead and try it. So this is his first year even playing tight end, and he won the starting job. And he went 5 for 90 in week one and 5 for 69 here against Michigan last week. So this is a kid that I'm going to watch. Like, if he's getting a connection here with John Mateer, like, we could have a really good tight end here on our hands playing at a really good university at Oklahoma. So kind of, I mean, not the same path as like Gunnar Helm, but he kind of reminds me of Gunnar Helm. Like, Helm came out of nowhere last year. And then look at Gunnar Helm. Like, he should have probably been like a third or fourth round pick if it wasn't for his ankle injury he suffered at the combine. But Kanick is like one of these guys who's on a really good program who came out of nowhere, that's only 10% owned still right now. So he's had 2 good weeks on a pass happy offense with John Mateer, so that's definitely somebody I wanted to bring up.
Facts. I agree. And the only thing, I know I'm not positive if this is correct or not, but if he's really 6'2", that kind of scares me for NFL stuff.
Yeah, so
if he's really that undersized, I don't know about his long term future. But I mean, for CFF, man, he's doing his thing right now. So
yeah,
I loved it. So I like to see he's back to back six targets, back to back five receptions. So can't complain about that. I'm really
You got a good quarterback like that who's throwing you the ball, man, mm-hmm. like I'll take it all day.
Facts. Any other guys or are we
no, I think we hit pretty much all the ones that I think were important for this week. So
cool. All right, well, the last topic I got going on here is looking forward to week three. So some matchups we got here. The first one that I want to talk about, we kind of touched on it a little bit earlier, is good old Clemson. So Clemson versus Georgia Tech. I think this might be, if there wasn't already a nail in that coffin, I mean, we got to see how he does this week. But
yeah, I don't know. I'm hoping Georgia Tech has Haynes King back because he didn't play this past week. So hopefully he's playing. That's a noon game at Georgia Tech. So I mean, Clemson's going to be on it. They got to be start off hot here because if they start off slow again, like Georgia Tech, we've seen them the last couple of years. They've beaten some good programs. So, yeah.
Yeah. And what is that? I think it's Philo. I don't know how to pronounce his name. He's actually pretty decent. I mean, what was it? Mm-hmm. What did he do last week? 75% completion percentage. So, and he stepped in the other. Was it last year? I think it was. Like they were almost rotating between him and Haynes. Haynes was kind of out there running, and then Philo was throwing, and they were doing some weird stuff last year. I think it was. So Philo's actually not that bad of a passer. So if it is him, I mean, he's not a real slouch in the passing game. So they better come out and do something, or else this could be ugly.
Yeah, for sure.
So might be the nail. Next one. Is Bama versus Wisconsin?
I think Bama should wipe the floor with Wisconsin, to be honest with you.
I agree. But will they?
I mean, Ty Simpson needs to get going. Like that's pretty much simple it is. They have so much good talent. I don't know if Ryan Williams will be back for this one. Hopefully he is from his concussion. Yeah. But we got to see him get going. Yeah, I think Alabama wipes the floor.
You think they wipe the floor?
Wisconsin. Yeah.
Okay. I mean, they should, but
yeah, I don't know.
We'll see. I think that's upset alert, at least. It's interesting. I don't know. We'll see.
Okay.
We'll see. And then we got Georgia versus Tennessee.
Yeah, going to Knoxville to play Tennessee, that's going to be a tough game.
Yeah.
Obviously, Gunnar Stockton played during the playoffs last year, got his first taste of like big games. But this here's a big road game with a loud stadium there in Tennessee. So this is going to be Gunnar Stockton's first, you know, one of his first big tests here on the road. So this is going to be an interesting one to see if Georgia can play here with Tennessee. And Tennessee's been a surprise that Joey Aguilar, like he's balled out 2 weeks in a row, man. He's been playing really good ball. So I want to see him against this Georgia defense. So I'll be watching that one at 3:30.
Same. And they're always high flying. So
yeah,
you never know with them. And so, we'll see. Let's go Miami versus South Florida. This is the one. This is the one we talked about a little bit earlier that's coming up or whatever. And my eyes will be here.
Yeah, it's that one's on the CW network, so that'll be nice. I can throw that on the multi-view and watch that one while the Georgia-Tennessee game is going on too. So, yeah, I'm South Florida got up to 18th in the country now. Much deserved. They deserve it. So
they do.
Let's see them. One more time here. Can they
pull this miracle off? Oh, my goodness. That'd be pretty cool.
I mean, I think as long as they keep the game close, if it's like 24-20, something like that, like, you know, take Miami to the wire, there should still be ranked after that, in my opinion, even if they lost.
Even if they lose, yeah. Yeah, you can't really blame them. But, yeah, as long as they keep it close and it's a competitive game.
I mean, hats off to them to play that schedule their first 3 weeks. They said – fuck it, we don't want any cupcakes. We want three tough teams right out the gate, and you know they're 2-0.
2-0, man. Hopefully 3-0.
Yeah,
I'm rooting for them.
Would be nice.
I might have to get a bottom brown jersey if they win this game. It'd be pretty freaking sweet. I'd be pretty proud of them.
Yep.
Next game we have on the slate is Notre Dame versus Texas A&M.
Yeah, that should be a really fun game.
Yeah, 8 versus 16.
Yep.
And I don't know how Notre Dame is still 8. I hate them. I hope they lose.
I mean, yeah, they're a nationally known program, you know. So,
yeah.
I thought CJ Carr didn't play terrible against Miami. Like, he did have a few mistakes for his first game out there. But he is a high recruit too, so definitely want to see him. You know, Notre Dame's always a fun atmosphere to go play at here. So Texas A&M is one of those Jekyll and Hyde teams. One week they're great, the next week they're like, who the hell is this? Like,
right.
So hopefully they can stay consistent here and have a good game against Notre Dame.
They got two good wide receivers though, so I am interested in that. I loved Mario Craver as a coming out of high school as a freshman. He was a phenomenal route runner. I loved him. So
yeah,
seeing him come out here moving over to Texas A&M and balling, I'm happy. Casey Concepcion is over here too. He balled out last week as well. So, and Terry Bussey too. Even Terry Bussey, he's very athletic. So we'll see. Three decent wide receivers. So,
yep.
Maybe they pull it off. We'll find out. I'm rooting for them though, because I want Notre Dame to go down. That's not what I want to see.
Yep.
Very last one that I got on here is LSU versus Florida.
Yes, same time at 7:30 at that as that game. So,
yeah. So LSU should beat them, but I don't know. Is there any chance Lagway comes out and just does something special and shocks us, you think?
Oh, there's definitely a chance. He's one of the most talented quarterbacks in the nation. Like, if he has a good week of practice and, you know, they get their heads right after the South Florida game, I don't know if maybe they were looking ahead to LSU. You know how teams always do that kind of thing, even though they shouldn't have. You know, maybe they're focused for this week. So I think this is going to be a closer game than, you know, probably people realize. It's probably going to come down to the last couple possessions here, so... Right. I do think LSU has the better defense. Their defense played really good against Clemson. Mm-hmm. Last week wasn't as great, but they're still really good.
That's what I was going to say. I mean, LSU beat Clemson. Didn't look great doing it. I mean, they slugged it out. I mean, it's two good teams, but still. Yeah. And then they played Louisiana Tech last week. And, I mean, you beat them 23-7. Cool, but, like,
yeah, it should have been 43-7.
You know, yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's not very impressive. It's really not. They should have blown them out. They're a much better team than that, especially if you rank number 3 and you can only beat them 23-7. I feel like that's not.
Yeah, with those wide receivers, with Caden Durham at running back, yeah, you should have smashed them.
You should have smashed them and you didn't. So I don't know.
That's why I think this game could be a little closer.
I agree. That's why it was one of the ones I highlighted. Even though it's a number 3 versus an unranked team, I was like, you know what? If Lagway gets his head straight, whatever, from that last loss and comes out and balls, I mean, I think they have a chance. I really do. Yep. So, and maybe if your running game is going with ball, keep going. If he's gashed, please. So,
you care if I bring out one more game that I think could be sneaky?
Go for it. Hit me. 7:45 p.m.,
so 15 minutes after these games start.
Okay.
Vanderbilt is going to South Carolina to play Lenora Sellers. So, game in South Carolina. I don't know. Did you watch the SEC documentary, the Any Given Saturday one?
No, I've been meaning to, but I haven't.
Okay. So, when you get to that, you'll understand why. Like, Diego Paava, I will run through a brick wall for that fucking guy. And I
think this team
would do the same. Like, I don't know if he's got any NFL prospects or anything, but he's the perfect, like, I will have that guy as my third quarterback. Everybody would run through a wall for him kind of player. Like, he is one of those enigma types. And they've come out and put up, he's put up 45 points against Charleston Southern and Virginia Tech last week. They put up 44 points on Virginia Tech. So
I missed the 44 points. That's impressive.
And Piava has been really, really good so far this year. I'll bring up his stats real quick. Game log. So yeah, against Virginia Tech last week, he was 12 for 18, 193 yards and two touchdowns, and ran the ball 11 times for 61 yards. So, and then the week before, 20 for 25, 275, three touchdowns, and ran for 44 yards too. So he is definitely one of the best senior quarterbacks. He might not make it to the NFL and do all good and all that, but
he's jumped from like a 60% completion rate to like a 74% this year. So,
he's
elevating at least. So he's doing all right. So
yeah, and I think he lives for these big time games. Obviously, he knows Lenore Sellers is getting all this NFL draft hype. Like, I think that could be a sneaky game where don't be shocked if Vanderbilt upsets
South or hangs Carolina. In there for longer than they should have,
and just hangs in there. Vanderbilt used to be, like they talked about on the documentary, they're the doormat of the SEC, and not any longer. Like they are getting a lot better on that program. So
okay, all right, that's good stuff. Yeah, you got me hyped on this game. Now I'm gonna be peeking in.
Yeah, okay. Throw it on the multi-view.
It's going. It's
There's
going.
So much stuff going on Saturday, man.
There's so
man.
Much like, stuff going on. And I work on Saturday, so it's hard for me working, and my phone, no screens are all up, so it's rough.
Yeah, not with that cough, Dan. That cough, man, is really bad. You might have to call off. I think it's going to last until Saturday.
You know what? I think you're right. Actually, wait a minute. I'm off this week. I got a wedding, though. I got a wedding. I forgot.
Yeah, not with that cough. You got COVID.
You know what? There will be a lot of football being watched during this wedding. So,
okay, good.
That works. That works. Actually, get Saturday off.
We have all these games that we talked about. Mm-hmm. That big boxing fight is on Saturday night on Netflix. Canelo and Crawford.
Oh, yeah, that's weekend.
On. Yeah, so that's on. Hopefully, that's like 11:30 or midnight boxing when that starts, so I can watch it. There's the NASCAR race is on. That's a big one this week. So there's a ton of stuff going on Saturday night.
There's it looks like UFC's got something too. It's still a fight night, but
yeah, UFC. Like, has that started on the free stuff on Paramount yet? Because that's what I'm interested in.
I don't know. I haven't really paid attention.
I haven't either.
I use a bootleg cable thing, so
oh, okay.
That's all I watch all my stuff.
Gotcha. Easy. Yeah.
So, but awesome, man. Thanks again for stepping in the last minute too. I didn't really mention that, but this wasn't planned. Mike got called into work and was like, I'm sorry. And then I last second texted Eric and was like, hey, what are you doing tonight, bud? You want to hang out and talk for a little bit? And he was like, yeah, I got you. So thank you so much again for stepping in and hanging out with me.
Yeah, whenever you need me, man. If you Mike's got to work or whatever, I'm happy to step in and help you out. Or if you and Mike want to bring me on, we can all just sit around and talk.
We might have to. We might all three of us hanging out and talking ball, and yeah, I'm into it.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm down for any of it, man. So been enjoying the podcast so far, and hopefully everybody else is too, man.
Cool. Yeah. Thank you. I appreciate it, man. And Mike. Not Mike. So you say, Mike, Eric, you want to plug yourself real fast? Where can everybody find you at?
Yeah, so
you don't. I mean, you're already on the stream, probably listening to us, but just in case,
right? You can follow me on X at Eric Vanek NFL. America's Game is my show. It comes out on this same feed every Thursday, so that's up there. Started doing the waiver show this week for the Waiver Wire. The first episode of that dropped. That dropped on the South Harmon Fantasy Football channel on YouTube, and the podcast version drops Tuesday mornings for you guys. So I dig really deep into that, going through all the stats and everything for that. So that's been really fun. And then on Sundays, we do the live Start Sit show on YouTube as well. So if you have any of your last minute questions for your Sunday fantasy lineups, you can come in, ask us, and we'll help you out on who to start and sit. So that's pretty much it.
Awesome, man. Awesome. That's good stuff. And you can just find me at draft_prospects on X, which is so weird to say. I still hate it. I still call it Twitter. But you can follow me there. And awesome, man. Thank you so much again for coming to hang out. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, man. Thank you for asking me. And I had a lot of fun, man. I enjoyed it.
Cool. All right, man. Well, I'll talk to you guys all soon. So thank you again, and we will talk to you next time. Peace.